Amen. You know, God, we thank you for that word this morning. And you are all of those things. Me and someone was talking Wednesday night about how he says he's the great I am. I've preached on that before, the I am. And we were talking to church, me and a guy, and he said, you know, God showed him something on this. He is the I am. You know what he wants our response to be? Yes, you are. That sounds so simplistic, doesn't it? But yes, you are. You are the I am. And I accept that, and I receive that, and I believe that, that you are the I am. Whatever you need to be and can be in my life, God, you are. And I am so thankful for that. Let's get into Romans 8 this morning. Destiny. Not this destiny, but destiny. Destiny. Church, God has prepared a plan for us that the enemy cannot at all disrupt. I want to make this clear. When we believe what Jesus truly did for us, when we truly believe that the cross completed what we couldn't, when we really believed that the resurrection secured our future, then we will go through this life realizing no matter what comes my way, no matter what storms arise, no matter what battles enrage in my life, I know that I know my destiny will be fulfilled the way God planned it to be. And we'll quit letting the devil derail us off of our daily walk with God, because the Bible never says we don't have problems and we don't have storms. Paul had a lot of them. Paul had a lot of tribulation. He had a lot of storms. But he knew one thing, that none of those storms, none of those tribulations, none of those problems, none of those sicknesses, none of those times he was imprisoned, it did not negate, it did not cancel out, it did not erase the destiny that God had already planned for Paul to walk in. That's why he could boldly say while he was in prison, the last book that he wrote, he was in prison, and he said this. He says that, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. My time of departure is at hand, and I know that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. How could someone who had been so bad before as Paul was possibly think he would deserve a crown of righteousness? Because he realized and recognized it wasn't in him that the righteous was established. It was in what Jesus did, the risen Savior, coming out of the tomb, justifying forever, and securing the future of Paul's life. That's what grace does. Now let's get into Romans 8. We'll start with verse 28 this morning, talking about destiny. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. We love this verse, don't we? We know all things work together for good to them that love God. We don't have to understand it. We don't always understand it. And we certainly doubt it. How in the world could what I'm going through now possibly work out for my good? How in the world, God, why would you allow this season of my life to evolve if there's something good? Because I don't see nothing good out of it at all. Well, we don't understand the mind of God, for one, and he works different than we do, but he sees the future and we don't. All things work together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. I'm not going to expound on this morning because I don't feel released to do that this morning, but I want to make one note in verse 29. I'm just going to make one note to make you think, and I'm moving on, okay? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow... Who did he foreknow? All of us. That's all I'm saying. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that means he chose. Remember, he chose us. We didn't choose him. Let's make that very clear. I think that's been mistaught, that we choose Jesus. No, he chose us. He proved that 2,000 years ago. He chose us. Now, yes, he speaks to us. And yes, we respond to him. But he's the one that did this. Joseph Brown, I am God. Yes, sir. He first chose us. So for those that he chose, it says that he called. Who he called? He justified. Justified. That means declared righteous in the eyes of God. How? And notice what the sense Paul uses. He don't say will be. Those that he's called, they are justified. It's already a done deal. I may not feel justified. I'm going through storms. I sinned 3 times in the last 7 years. I have to admit that to y'all. And so I know I don't always feel justified. But thank God my justification is not based on me. It's not based on me, church. It's based on Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Lord of lords, the great I am, the Lamb of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the field. That's who I belong to, and He chose me. And I'm justified because of what He did. Here's the deal. Jesus did enough. I don't have to add one thing to what He did. I love Christians that think they got to add something to what Christ did. We don't. When we do that, we are actually diluting the power of the cross and the power of the grace that Jesus shed upon our hearts. I am justified. And look, y'all goes on to say this, and we love this word, especially us charismatic folks. He also glorified. Glorified. Once again, it don't say will be glorified. It's already Paul saying they have been glorified. In other words, there's a certainty to the future of our glorification. A certainty to it. We can, as the old saying, take it to the bank. That I am glorified and I will partake of the glory of God because He has justified me. And my justification is not some kind of, how's it used in prison terms? I'm not on parole. You know, I'm not on a trial basis here. Well, I'll save Carol and I'll justify her as long as she walks, as Johnny Cash says, the line. But now when she gets out of line, I'm sending that officer, probation officer back, and she's going back. I'm taking her back. Well, poor Carol would always be in jail. I know her. I'm playing. She'd always be in jail. So, you know, thank God when He called us, He justified us and He glorified us. I will be a part of the future glory that God has waiting on me. And the devil can snort, he can snot, he can whisper, he can lie, he can dance, he can shout, but he cannot change or erase what Jesus, my Lord, has already done. It is finished because of Him, church. Don't stay one more day in condemnation and worry and guilt about what if I'm not good enough. I can answer that. You ain't. And I ain't. But He is. Because He is the great I am. He is the one that stepped in time, a time of our lives when we needed redemption, and He paid the price in full. I don't understand why I still struggle if I'm supposed to be so justified. Because, church, we are in the flesh. Let's go back to it this way. We want to really categorize people's failures and faults. Well, they still drink. They're supposed to be justified. They still smoke. Should be justified. They don't always talk good. They should be justified. Well, let's take this. How many of us eat a little bit more than we should? Where's your control? Holy Spirit, are you being led by the Holy Spirit when you eat 22 pieces of pizza at Village Inn on a plate? Is that Holy Spirit led? You're sitting there 100 pounds overweight. They shouldn't be drinking. Are you serious? I'm just saying. This is how ridiculous this sounds when we say it out loud. And so thank God that God doesn't condemn me, because the Bible does talk about don't be a what? A glutton. Do we ever gluttonize? Heck yeah. If me Pablo's had a buffet, church, I'd be 500 pounds. I'm just saying. Oh, it is hard to have self-control in everything in our lives. It's hard. It doesn't mean because we're in a struggle that we're not justified and we're not glorified. We are. That's why Jesus came, because we can't walk that line perfect. But He called us, He justified us, and He glorified us. Jesus did that, not us. What shall we say to these things? Verse 31. If God be for us, Who can be against us? Now think about what Paul is saying. Man, if God ain't holding nothing against you, who can? If God is on your side, if God is for you, if God says the debt's erased and you're forgiven, why are you letting the enemy and other people's mouths keep you in a pit of condemnation and bondage? If God sets you free, ain't that kind of the top dog? The chief guy? The head honcho? The boss? I mean, if he sets you free, who cares what religious folks say? I mean, my goodness. That's what we need to think about. When somebody condemns you, well, Carol, are you really saved? Now, do you really know? How do you know, Carol? And that's why I ask you this. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because Jesus told me so. Period. You mean Jesus talks to you? Well, apparently you're not the one going to heaven. If I can hear him and you can't, so maybe you're the problem. Yes, he talks to me. Jesus talks to me. His word tells me who I am. I don't have to have an identity crisis anymore. So many years we as Christians live with an identity crisis. We absolutely don't know if we're saved from one day to the next, if we're justified from one day to the next, if we're in God's graces one day to the next. And when we realize what Ephesians 2 tells us, that you are saved by grace, it is a gift from God, lest any man boast. How many boastings we got in religious circles? Oh my gosh. I am prophet so-and-so and bishop. I'm Bishop Lewis. Y'all call me Bishop from now on. You hear me? Bishop. I'm a bishop. I got me a gold tooth and a gold chain. I'm a bishop. And we have that kind of mentality, not realizing that it's not about us. I'm going to tell you something. God looks upon Joe Brown with the same love and affection he does Billy Graham. That's my child. He's bought with the blood. That's my kinfolk, as a southern redneck say. That's my kin. You don't mess with my kin. He's my, or some of you say, youngin. He's my youngin. I know y'all know what that means from Ohio, but youngin means child. That's my youngin. I'm God's youngin. You're God's youngins. We always youngins. Hallelujah. We are his seed. The Bible says that we are heirs with Christ, or heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. Think about that. We all know what joint means. It means what he has, I have. What all the stuff he has, I have a right to what he has. I'm a joint heir with Christ. It's a gift of God. We can't boast about it. We can't go around bragging, well, I know I'm closer to God because I fasted 21 days. That's wonderful. Don't make you no closer to God as far as righteousness is concerned. Not saying you can't hear from God differently. It doesn't get you in a different place with God as far as with your walk. But I'm talking about as far as righteousness is concerned. We can pray. We can do all this stuff. We can do everything. And we keep trying to add merits to our walk with God. And we think that's what gains us access. And it's not, church. This is why Paul faced so much persecution. Remember, Paul grew up a Jew. He was very schooled in the Jewish law. He was a Pharisee at one point. And so all of a sudden now, his mind's turned around. And he came out of that legalistic system and began to preach just Jesus. And it drove the Pharisees crazy. What do you mean just I saw all I need is Jesus. Really, Jesus? Who's Jesus? I'm a Pharisee. I'm a scribe. I'm a scholar. I'm a learner of the law. And we've got to keep all this stuff in place for us to be holy. And you're telling me that just because Jesus did what he did, that all the debt's paid? Yep, that's what Paul was saying. Yes, yes, yes. Your debt is paid because of what Jesus did. And your destiny is secure because of what Jesus did. Man, how many of you through the years truly have worried that you would make it to heaven? Anybody? Through the years, you worry you make it to heaven. That you've done enough. That you were good enough. And you would live in that torment and fear. And you would get resaved over and over. I've heard folks say, I got resaved. I got saved 10 times. I got resaved. And every time the altar was open, we were so afraid that we wasn't his that we would just cry out and beg, God, I want to know I'm yours. We don't know we're God's by feeling. We know we're God's by faith. Because we believe He is the great I am. And then we say, yes, you are. I was enough. The one sacrifice was enough. I want to encourage you all, I've said before, read Hebrews chapter 10 sometime. Hebrews 10 is a powerful chapter. It talks about your covenant with God. Hebrews 10. All right. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33, I want to focus on a minute. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Look at this verse a minute. What this Paul is saying is there can't nobody charge you with nothing because God's already justified you. That charge can't be brought up. You know, if you've ever been in court, don't raise your hands. I know about half of you have. If you've ever been in court and a judge dismisses a case, that's a good feeling, right? Don't you love to get cases dismissed? Yes, I know you don't know that, Anthony. You better not know that yet. You're too young to know about that. When a case is dismissed, that means it's no longer hanging over you and you are free to go. The charge has been dropped. How can anybody bring a charge against God's people? They can't. Care what they say. Just because they say you're guilty don't mean you are. God's already justified you. God's already declared you free, so you walk in the liberty of that freedom and be not again entangled with that yoke of bondage that the enemy tries to put on your life. I am free in Jesus. I am free in Jesus. I am free in Jesus. Every single day, every waking moment, through my failures and through my victories, through my high and through my low, through yesterday and through tomorrow, I am covered by the blood of Jesus, and my destiny is secure in the grace that he provided. That's who I am in Christ. That's my Jesus. He's more than a cross on a necklace. He's more than a hip-hop song. He's more than coming to church and about doing our hands like this or being under a steeple. What he did for me, he granted me an everlasting future. That the devil, and here's the thing, church, and I better not say that. I don't know if you're quite ready for this. I'll move on. Next verse. Now, I skipped to Colossians 2:14. Here's what he did. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Jesus erased what stood against us. Judge Jesus, not Judge Judy. Judge Jesus said, your case, Carol, your case, Tammy, your case, Linda, your case, Minnie, has been dismissed. But Minnie says, Judge, I did it. I know you did, but it's dismissed. But I'm guilty. I know you are, but it's dismissed. And Minnie says, Judge Jesus, how can that be? Why am I not paying the price for my penalty? And God says, it's been paid in full for you. You are free to go. Hallelujah. That's what sets us free, church. And if you ever get this revelation really alive in you, you'll never go back to what you were. You'll never can go back and put your hand to the plow again and say, this is really how it is. No, the light's done shine. Paul couldn't ever go back once the light shined. He didn't go back ever to that legal system. He did, and that was hard for him. That's what he was trained his whole life to do. And in a moment on Damascus Road, the light shined and Paul's life was transformed, and he went from being a legalistic to a prophet of grace, speaking the word of truth about Jesus and who he was. He blotted out the handwriting that was against us. It was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Oh, church, the judgment that we deserve. And yes, we deserved judgment. Because all of us, the Bible says, are guilty. All of us have fallen short. All of us are born with a sin nature. And we really couldn't do a thing about it. Because no matter how much you don't want to sin, Chuck, it's hard not to sin, ain't it, brother? No matter how hard you try, you can wake up and you can write on a blackboard 100 times, I will not sin today. I will not sin today. I will not sin today. And the whole time you're cussing the person that made you do it in your mind. So you're sinning while you're writing, I will not sin, stupid woman. I will not sin. I hate her, stupid woman. I mean, we can't get away from it. Sin is part of our makeup. And man, sin comes so easy. Oh, how easy, how much easier is it to blow the horn on somebody on the road? You lay down because it make you mad versus saying, bless them, Lord. Oh, boy, we hit that horn, don't we? I do. Somebody being stupid on the road. And I go by them and look at them like this. I do. I'm ashamed to say I do. Because they're morons. I did it yesterday, yeah. Guy wouldn't let me over the interstate. Nothing behind him. I'm trying to get off the ramp. He wouldn't let me over. He just right. There's nothing behind him. I lay on the horn. He jerks over. That's what I thought. I got over. Like, man, get over. Go make me stop on the interstate when there's a whole lane there. Hello, driver's ed. Remember that? I mean, goodness. Get over. Sin comes easy. Sin comes so easy. The righteousness of God doesn't come quite as easy. So thank God our ticket to heaven is not based on how we acted today or tomorrow or yesterday. Because I'm telling you, when the trumpet sounds, you better hope you're having a good day. If that's your doctrine, you better hope you're having a good day. Better hope all your ducks are in a row and you're walking the line when the trumpet sounds. Because most of us are not most of the days. And so I'm thankful that he took that out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. This means that no longer what stood against me in judgment remains. But the judgment's now been removed because of the blood of Jesus. Man, that's powerful. Go back to the back in Romans now. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, and he is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Think about this. The blood wasn't a one-time deal that just kind of covered one mistake, one sin. One failure. There's a constant covering because of Christ. A continual, constant covering because of what Jesus did. That's the beauty of grace. That I'm covered. When we sing songs like that, we don't believe it. I'm covered by the blood. I'm the army of the Lord. Well, are you, aren't you? Are you in the army one day and you've been, exiled the next day? If you're in the army of the Lord, you're signed up, brother. You are signed in, and you can't get out of that without an emergency in the real world. And when you sign up in the army of the Lord, he's yours, and you're his. Through the good and through the bad, you're his. We have a constant covering because of what Christ did. Verse 35. Now here's where it gets good, real good. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation do that? Distress? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted for as sheep for the slaughter. But in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul is saying there is nothing to come along. And here's what I want you to hear out of this message. We understand, yeah, God loves us, and I know he'll always love me, but it don't necessarily mean I'm his because he loves me. Let's see what Paul's talking about here. Who can separate me from the love of God? What did the love of God do? It died for our sins. It paid the penalty for our redemption. There's nothing that can come along that can undo that. There's nothing that can come along that can change that. There's nothing that comes into our lives that makes what Christ did void. Nothing. I don't care how much the devil rants and shouts. I don't care how much tribulation comes. I don't care how many problems arise. I don't care what kind of sickness attacks our body. None of those things can cancel out and void what Christ has done. His love that he showed for us on the cross remains forever and ever and ever. And there's nothing, there's no time of separation. There's no moment of separation, which tells me this, that how can I be lost and gone if the love doesn't ever leave me? Because what is hell? What is darkness? What is being lost? What is being unsaved? It's not having the love of God in my life. Being apart from his love would be a living hell, would it not? To be apart from God's love. Nothing can separate me from that. Nothing. This is why the name of Jesus makes so many people so... kind of like on Lion King, remember? When they mention Mufasa's name. And the old hyena, ooh, Mufasa, ooh, say it again, Mufasa. I mean, Mufasa struck fear in the heart of that coyote, a hyena, excuse me. That hyena, just hearing the name, Mufasa, ooh. Man, we talk about Jesus, the world, ooh. Why are you saying Jesus, man? Because that's the name, that's the where the power's at. Church, that's the name of Jesus is what broke the back of death and hell for humanity. It broke the back. It destroyed it. It overcame it. It overshadowed it. It got rid of it. It absolutely took it and threw it away. No more is that judgment upon your life because of what Jesus did. That's why that name is so powerful. That's why that name is so beautiful. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a glorious name it is. The name of Jesus. Because nothing can separate us. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then he goes on to say this. Paul says, I am persuaded. I'm totally convinced. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. That's a fancy word for all the powers of the air. Nor powers, nor things present, nor anything that could ever come. Height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Destiny, church. We have a destiny. And we cannot be separated from his love. We are his children. We have been born under by his name, saved by his grace. And Paul was saying, no matter what comes my way, I will not ever have to worry about my future because God sealed it for me. So we don't have to walk in fear. Don't have to walk, keep trying to do what we have to do to be good enough for God. He was good enough for us. That's the real revelation. He was good enough for us. And when he went to the cross, came out of the tomb, when he hung on the cross, I preached on this a few weeks ago. He said, and John, he hung on the cross in the book of John. He says, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost. He died. It is finished. The word it is finished in the original Greek translates into paid in full. Changes our whole mindset when we read it that way, doesn't it? He hung on the cross and he says, it is paid in full. And then he died. Hallelujah. Paid in full. You mean, Pastor, I don't owe nothing to God? Well, we serve God. Of course we do. We love God. We serve God. We are a witness. We are a light. We want to get others, show others the grace of Jesus. But far as paying your dues to get to heaven, your train fare has been paid. Your ticket has been punched. You have a place, as the old gospel song when I was a kid, the old gospel ship. I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. Oh, yeah. Our ticket has been paid. Don't live under condemnation and shame every day of your life. Of course, we are not living like Jesus. Of course, we're not in the image as far as what the world sees in the image of Jesus. But our heart has been changed by his grace. And our future has been changed by his mercy. And though I go through tribulations and storms, though I go through struggles, though I go through uncertainties, though I go through things in my life that always are pulling me down, I can rest assured nothing is going to separate me from the love that's in Christ. What Jesus did is forever. He don't have to come back and do it again. There's no do-over. There's no second crucifixion. There's no, ooh, need a little more blood, Lord. Need a little bit more covering, God. He did it, and it's enough. Let me just read you something. This is just kind of spurred up right now, just because I said it a while ago. But I want to read you this, because it goes along with this message of destiny. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to just read you a few verses. Hebrews 10:10 says this, by the which we are sanctified. Once again, we like that word, don't we? Sound so holy. We go tell our friends, have you been sanctified? And they're like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm sanctified. Do you want to be sanctified? I'm not sure. What does it mean? Well, sanctified means be set apart. But Hebrews says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Church, it don't get no more elementary than that. How can anyone argue against the grace of God when we read this verse? We are sanctified, set apart by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That's verse 10. Then 12 says this. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He offered himself one time forever. This tells me that the blood he shed is enough to keep me through all my stupidity, through all my ignorance, through all my failures, through all my shortcomings, through all my sins. He don't have to re-die, and I don't have to get re-saved. I believe in what he did, and it's once for all. Once again, it's a very powerful verse. And then verse 14, for by one offering, once again, one, third time we've seen one in these three verses, by one offering he hath perfected forever, there it is again, forever, them that are sanctified. Oh, I love that word. Sounds so good. Y'all need to go, y'all got lunch today, tell your server, I'm sanctified. See what they do. Okay, so Budweiser is what you're wanting, I'm assuming. I'm sanctified. I've been set apart for the glory of God. We've taught before that, I better stop there too. All right. Verse 17 and 18. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know what this, what the word's really saying? That the sins that stood before you and God, they won't be counted against you. How many times we've been taught, we get the pearly gates. Stacy Barton, step up. Woo! Here's all your sins. Woo! That's the hot, I can't even hold it. Here's all your sins. Let's read them. Here's what God does. Yep, you're in the Lamb, you're in the book of life. Come on in. You're in the Lamb's book of life. Come on in. If we truly believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins and judgment's been removed, because Romans 8:1 tells the same chapter earlier, there is no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If we believe that, then why do we think that all of these sins have still got to be dealt with somewhere in the future, whenever Christ has already dealt with them in the past? Oh, Lord, I pray ears hear the word this morning and hearts receive it and eyes are open to this truth. God, I just want to preach the truth of your gospel. I want the truth and your revelation to be so heard that it sets the captive free. Your name sets us free. Your name, Jesus, heals the brokenness. Your name, Jesus, does set the captive free. Your name, Jesus, makes everything new and everything right. In your name, there is deliverance. In your name, there is breakthrough. In your name, there is peace. In your name, there is joy. In your name, there is life forevermore. Mercy and grace forevermore. In your name. And I pray that the word of God today be heard and received as truth in our inner man, that we will walk out of here, God, not shackled anymore by what I have to do, but understanding what you have already done, that our destiny as Christians is secure, and that the gates of hell and all that come against us cannot change, erase, eradicate, or void what you have done in our lives. Thank you, Father, for setting us free. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.